Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The days are getting longer. The evenings are staying a bit brighter. And many dog owners may have slacked when it comes to bringing the dog for a walk during the dark winter months. So the question is, how do you get your dog and yourself back into the routine of exercising and making sure that the dog doesn't injure themselves while doing so? I'm joined on the line by Kathleen Murray, our regular dog expert. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Claire.
As always, we're asking people to text us with their questions to 51551 or to email today, cb@rte.ie. So we're talking about getting back out there because, as I said, some of us got a bit lazy during the winter months. It's hard, isn't it, to go out when it's windy and rainy and dark. So how do you advise that you ease your dog back into the long walks?
Yeah, it can be difficult, all right, for people. And some people have Raynaud's disease as well, where they get incredibly cold in the wintertime, so they go out less as well. And this time of the year now, it's good to look forward to spring and summer and starting to get ready for those seasons. But because if some people have slacked off and they haven't thrown out the trash from after Christmas yet, and they're still eating stuff and they're a bit lazy on it, you need to start off slowly. So start off on baby steps, basically. Walk a bit yourself first and see what you're fit for, and then maybe take your dog out. And it's important that the owner also starts to build up their fitness a little bit as well, because the dog depends on the owner. So if the owner, the fitness level is not great, then maybe you need an alternative of somebody else to help to start walk the dog in the beginning as well.
And listen,
so shorter walks.
The dogs don't like going out in the rain either. I have dogs that go up to the back door, and if it's raining, they start reversing.
Yeah, that's right. They look out and they think, don't think so.
They're just like us, really, aren't they?
Yeah, they have. They have their days where they can't be bothered going out in the cold and the rain, and they stand out there like you had just done something horrific to them.
you're being very gentle with us now. You're saying you could even just take a turn around the garden or a really short walk to get going.
In the beginning, yeah, build it up slowly, because it's like if you go to, chiropractors and doctors and osteopaths and things have a lot of influx in the springtime with gardening accidents, with strimmers and stuff like that, where people just go out and start doing stuff all the first day and their muscles are not ready for it. They're not adjusted to it. So they start pulling muscles and injuring themselves, and then you set yourself back. So don't go out and just do it all the first day. Build up slowly and then come back, maybe do some steps. You can do, so many steps, 2,000 steps is a mile, so count your steps even. A couple of short walks in the day is much better than going out for a long one. Maybe start off with every second day, then maybe go out, every day. But the average for a dog should be that they get exercised maybe about minimum 30 minutes a day for 5 days a week. But you can break that into 2 or 3 shorter walks in the day where they can get out,
What do you prefer to do? For the dog, would you prefer the longer walk or a couple of shorter ones?
Well, you see, if you're going for a dog walk, it's very different to a person walk. People think in kilometres. I walked 5 kilometres today, or I walked 2 kilometres today, or whatever. I walked 12 kilometres. But dogs don't think like it. Dogs just think from bush to bush, basically. They just think, I'll sniff at this bush and then I'll go across and I'll have a sniff at that one and then I'll sniff at this pole. And that's, dogs are walking continuously while they're doing that. If you ever observe a dog, they're continuously walking over and back and over and back, although they haven't gone very far. Snuffing at things. So that's a dog's walk. So if you aren't that fit, then take your dog for a dog's walk. If you want to go for a faster walk and you're very fit yourself, then go off and have your walk and then come back and take your dog for a more leisurely stroll, because dogs like to sniff things and they like new sights, new sounds and new smells. So bring them maybe on a different path tomorrow, bring them to a different place. One day, maybe bring them to a beach, walk them in the town, walk them in a forest park, walk them, in different areas where just take a different route so they have different smells and different sounds and new things to look forward to, because that would be their natural thing to do.
And let them sniff a bit, because the way you wonder sometimes, am I supposed to drag them along or do I give them the opportunity to have a little snoofle around?
Yeah. Well, if you go outside your gate and you just head down and you're heading off for 2 kilometres, your dog is not going to enjoy that. And you're not going to enjoy it either, because they're going to either be pulling you back or pulling you into a tree or pulling forward or whatever. So, make the walk enjoyable for yourself and your dogs. Have it relaxing. If you stand outside your gate and you don't get any further than the end of the road by the time tea time has come, then that's okay, because your dog has had a good time and your dog has been moving continuously and your dog has been sniffing and doing all the things that dogs do. And that relaxes a dog's mind. So if you have an older dog, that's the ideal way to exercise them, because older dogs can't go out for a big straightforward walk because they will injure themselves, and a lot of them have arthritis and things as well. So it depends entirely on your dog's fitness level as well, and the age of your dog, you know, and the breed of your dog. There's so many things to take into consideration, because some dogs can handle very little and some dogs can handle a lot.
And so, if a dog develops a limp, say you haven't been exercising, as we were saying, as much as you might do in the spring or the summer, and you get back into it, the dog starts to limp, how worried would you be about that?
Yeah, that is actually quite a common occurrence, because people go maybe way down a beach or something, or quite a long walk maybe, and the dog comes back and it limps and it's laid up for a couple of days. Take the dog to the vet, just make sure that there's nothing untoward, because dogs developing a limp suddenly can be for any reason, even down to cancer, it can be anything. So it can be a pulled muscle, it can be something simple, it can be something complicated. So get that checked out first, and then the vet will advise you then as to the best way for the dog to recuperate and then get back into things again.
Oh gosh, I've just taken a look at the number of questions that have come in for you, Kathleen. I better get into them because there are a lot. How much exercise does a one-year-old Yorkie need?
Yeah, well, Yorkies are small dogs, and if he runs up and down the stairs a couple of times a day, really, that's a lot of exercise for a little Yorkie. But I mean, if you want to take him out for a walk, you know, let him have a good time. Let him sniff things. Let him run about, because he's got short legs. So a short distance, well, he'll run a lot in a short time. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's not about distance with a Yorkie. Yeah, it's more about just having a bit of fun and running around and sniffing things and, you know, jumping up and down in chairs. Yorkies are busy dogs. They're always on the go. So they're always moving. Yeah.
Here's one, Kathleen. How best do you deal with lead reactivity? Our three-year-old terrier can mix loose with other dogs while on the lead. He's perfectly fine with them while he's off the lead. Sorry, he loses his mind. I got it. Thanks very much to that listener. So the problem is the dog is on the lead. It goes bananas. It's off the lead. It's fine.
Yeah, that's a common occurrence for a lot of dogs as well. They become very reactive when they're on the lead because they can feel trapped or they're overexcited and they can't get away. So they need to learn how to settle down on the lead and to trust you and to be more secure. So you can, if they're in a situation that's very excitable and you need to keep them on the lead, then maybe bring them back a bit from that excitement or that fear, you know, change direction or something to make it easier for yourself and your dog, and reward any calm behaviour that you see. Or maybe just sit on a park bench or something and just watch the world go by and have your dog sit beside you on the lead. And help them to calm down like that, because they'll eventually get used to it and they'll eventually allow things to pass by without getting overexcited. But the main thing is take them back a bit from the situation and reward them for any calm, quiet behaviour, and try not to talk to them too much, because you'll actually only probably make the problem a lot worse.
Okay, another one now is from a listener who wonders whether it's too late to spay a five-year-old half Jack Russell, half Chihuahua to calm him down. He has nervous, aggressive behaviour with other dogs, no matter how big they are. And this listener goes on to say he came from a very bad place as a pup.
Yeah. Well, it kind of worries me a bit when people always say to neuter them to calm them down, because neutering doesn't always calm a dog down. That's not the function of neutering, really. If a dog is anxious and nervous, neutering really seldom ever has anything to do with that, because neutering is more about hormones, and anxiety needs to be dealt with as a separate issue. So if you've got a very anxious dog, it's about building up their confidence in certain situations, maybe avoiding other situations, you know, taking their time to get in on it. Anxious dogs are the hardest dogs to work with, because it's a time thing. It takes them time to adjust to new things and to build up that confidence. So, and it depends an awful lot on socialization. And as we know, since the pandemic, a lot of pups were brought into the world here and into homes, and they haven't been socialized properly because of lockdowns or whatever. And they've missed that early socialization, and that can leave dogs incredibly reactive, and it can leave dogs fearful and anxious as well when they might not naturally have been like that. So I would suggest maybe going to somebody maybe local to them and get some help and assistance with that, a professional, so that they can get a way to settle that down, because working with anxiety, as I say, takes time. And it's not about mollycoddling them. It's not about saying, oh, you know, and sympathizing or holding them up on things. You can actually magnify the fear and anxiety by doing that. So it's about you showing, you know, calm leadership, that you're happy, you know, that nothing is going to bother you. You're not afraid of the situation, but have them in a safe place where the environment around them is controlled, that they're not exposed to anything that's too close to them, and that you're there you know, to take them under your wing kind of thing, but that you're not going to go over the top either, you know.
Yeah.
That will all give them a bit of confidence.
Yeah, it can be hard to stay calm, isn't it, when your dog is going crazy and barking.
And every dog is different.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Mick says that himself and his girlfriend recently inherited an old English bulldog pup. She's a year old. He says, I've described her as needy in the time that she's been with us. She craves constant attention and reassurance, and she whines, sits about us whining in order to win some affection. He wants to know, is it normal behaviour for this breed, or is she a casualty of mistreatment?
Well, that would be a normal behaviour for any dog if they're indulged or if they are accidentally rewarded for needy behaviour, because sometimes people can encourage that kind of behaviour without realising it. And they can sometimes give attention to it. Even if you say stop, that's still attention. You know, even if you say, come on, out here now, that's enough of that, that's still attention. So if you stop what you're doing and you address the dog when they're whining and being needy and all those things, you're actually giving attention to it. So if you can try and notice the times when your dog is calmer and try to reward the calm behaviour, try to notice the times when they're more needy. Look at the routine of the dog. You know, has the dog learned to spend any time alone? Does the dog sleep in the room with you? Does the dog, you know, how close is this dog to you? Has this dog ever had to play by themselves or, you know, stay alone for an hour or two while you go shopping? How do they cope with all of that as well? Because sometimes people, when they have a puppy, the puppy is, well, as everybody loves a puppy, like, you know, and you go, oh my God, this is a gorgeous pup, and you're giving it so much attention and so much play and so much fun, and then it starts to grow and it starts to develop and it starts to become maybe destructive around the house, chewing on things or whatever, and all of a sudden then you're trying to push it away.
Yes, you've spoiled the dog at that stage.
Yeah, you've actually encouraged and rewarded all of that behaviour, and now you're saying, I think we've made a mistake here. We don't want you doing that anymore.
Yeah,
so that's very hard.
That's the risk, hard on the dog. Anne in Crumlin has been on, along with a few other people as well, Kathleen, to remind people to clean up after their dogs. I stood in something the other day as well. It's so grim. She says the streets are in a dreadful state, and it is an issue, Kathleen, isn't it? When you go out, you have to remember the old bags for picking up.
Yeah, it is a major issue and it's disgraceful. And now they've started now banning dogs off beaches now in the summer because of the blue flag beaches and stuff like that. And when we think of all that dogs have done for us in society, you know, therapy dogs, you know, mountain rescue dogs, you know, cancer detection, all the things that they do, police dogs, companions, protect everything, you know, we do nothing for them in return, really. We put them into situations that they can't handle. We make them unpopular by leaving their poops lying around. You know, we ban them from here, we ban them from there, they must be on leads. No decent dog park, no decent place where a dog can actually go and run and play and be a dog. You know, it's an absolute disgrace what we do to dogs.
Kathleen, we'll leave it there. Great to talk to you as always. So many people getting in touch with questions for Kathleen, so we will speak again soon. And that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Today's programme.